Governor Kasich. Welcome to the relocated soapbox.
Thank you. Do I have to stand up here? Can I stand down here? Can I stand down here so I don't fall off the stage? You know what happened to the leader of the Foo Fighters? He fell off the stage, and I'd rather not do that. Hey, it's great to be with you. I just want to tell you a couple things and some things that I've noticed here at the fair today. Number one, just a little bit about my background and my record, just so you know. I grew up in a little town outside of Pittsburgh called McKees Rocks, and my father was a Democrat all of his life. His father was a coal miner. My mother was a very opinionated and smart woman, but not highly educated because her mother lived with us, could barely speak English. It was a town, folks, where if the wind blew the wrong way, people would find themselves out of work. And I think it's important for people to know that I grew up in a place where people never got the kind of the favored treatment. You know, it was not a place where anything really special, the promotions or those things, it was just hardworking folks. And I got elected to public office without really really even including so much the Republican Party. I ran for office because I thought I could make a difference. I am a Republican, but the party has always been my vehicle and has never been my master. And so I recruited just a lady like you, ma'am, to help me and to go door to door. And so I've been, throughout my entire career, a pretty independent person. I believed in balanced budgets, but I believe in cleaning up waste no matter where it is. I was one of the original fighters against corporate welfare in the Congress, and it was at times a lonely endeavor. I spent 10 years of my life when I was in Washington to balance the federal budget. My first budget that I presented, after a guy challenged me who said, if you don't like what's going on in Washington, what would you like to do about it? I wrote my own budget. And there were votes on four budgets that year, the president's budget, it was a Republican, the Democrat budget, the Black Caucus budget, and the Kasich budget. And the vote on my budget was 405 no and 30 yes. I thought I was doing pretty well, though, because I had 29 other people that thought that it was not right to mortgage our young people's future. And I also thought there's a good value, which is you don't live in debt. And so I spent 10 years of my life fighting for that, literally 10 years. And the late 90s, I worked with the Clinton administration, and I was one of the chief architects of the first time we balanced the federal budget since man walked on the moon. We paid down the largest amount of the publicly held debt, and the economy was doing very well. I also was a military reformer. When I first went to Congress, the only committee I was on was the Defense Committee, and I found hammers and screwdrivers and wrenches along with a couple other congressmen that cost tens of thousands of dollars. And so I went about in reforming the Pentagon most of my career. People called me and my friends cheap hawks, that we were for a strong America, but we wanted to make sure that we didn't waste money there. When I left Washington after that budget episode, we had a $5 trillion surplus, and I decided to leave. And I went into the private sector, and then I felt the call to go back into public service. And hopefully I can get to this in just a few minutes. So I ran for governor, and the state was in very bad shape. We had lost 350,000 jobs. We were $8 billion in the hole. Our credit was at risk. And four and a half years later, we are now up 350,000 jobs. We're running a $2 billion surplus. We've cut taxes by the most amount of any sitting governor, including tax relief for small businesses, which are the engine of economic growth. And then as we have grown and become stronger, and this is an important thing for me to say to you, we don't believe that anybody should be left in the shadows. That we feel that with more economic progress, people who have mental illness, drug addiction, the working poor, developmentally disabled, the autistic, and our friends in the minority community, that everybody deserves a chance to live out their God-given purpose. We had a re-election, and I was able to receive 26% of the African-American vote. 51% of union households, 60% of women, and the second largest electoral victory in modern Ohio history. And it happened for, I think, two reasons. One, hope has come back to Ohio. But the second reason is, I like to think that many, many people in Ohio don't feel as though they're being shut out, that they're being listened to, that they have a chance to get ahead. I think that's what we want in our country. Now, I want to talk to you about something that is, I think, so critically important for me to suggest to you and you to listen to what I want to tell you now. Over the weekend, there were some articles printed about ISIS rounding up 12, 13, and 14-year-old girls and using them as sexual objects and trading them as an object to their fighters. ISIS represents, in my opinion, with the beheadings, the attacks on people of faith, the abuse of women, an attack on Western civilization. Not just a national security threat to us, but something even deeper. People who want to destroy our very way of life. That same weekend, last weekend, I read about two young people who live in Starkville, Mississippi. I've been to Starkville, Mississippi. It's the home of the Mississippi State University. It's a very sweet town. And the story was about a young man and a young woman who were arrested because they were trying to board a plane to make a connection to fly to Syria to join ISIS. Now, let me be clear on the military front. I have said for a long time now that America, as part of a coalition, needs to destroy these people. We need to go, erode them, and destroy them. Because we're either going to do it now, or it's going to cost us a lot more later. But at the same time I say that, the military effort is only one part of what I believe we all need to think about. Why would this 18 and 19-year-old, seemingly normal, two very attractive people wanting to go and join ISIS? Why do we find some of the most successful people that we read about, am I right, young men? And we read about them being attracted. And what ISIS tries to offer is a sense of family, a sense of importance, and a ticket to paradise. They are liars, distorters, and murderers, and rapists. So what about us? What's happening? You know, I think for a while, Western civilization has practiced two fundamental objectives. And Richard Cohen, the New York Times columnist, wrote something about this. Number one, we worship freedom. And I don't mean just freedom to be free, but everybody can do whatever they want to do. And nobody, there's no overarching rules. There's just do whatever you want to do. And I think about my 15-year-old twin daughters. If my wife and I raised our daughters to just do whatever they wanted to do, what do you think would happen? And secondly, in the West, there seems to be an aggressive effort to find happiness, because we all want to be happy. But I have to suggest to you that we as human beings who represent the Western ethic and the Western tradition, we need to realize that we have a purpose here on earth. Our purpose relates to healing those who live in our world, and I believe that our purpose involves justice in this world. We built a Holocaust memorial on the grounds of our state house so that every day young people, people of all ages, could recognize what happens with man's inhumanity to man. And there is an inscription on one of the walls that says this: if you save one life, if you save one life, you've saved the world. Now, our responsibility, in my opinion, as human beings and somebody that's had a lot of experience and seen a lot of success and so many ways in which we all live together, I believe that all of us have to be a center of justice and a center of healing, and to realize that life is not just about us alone. Life is about us doing something bigger in our lives for someone else. You know, we have the former speaker here, Brent Sechrist. He's a coach. We've got a state senator here who coached in high school. He's now a state senator. Their passion was to show young people the way, wasn't it? It wasn't to win necessarily the football games or the wrestling tournaments. It was to build character. Some people will say, what is that all about? Well, I think there's some fundamental values we need to think about. I outlined them in my inaugural address, personal responsibility. We can't make excuses for why things don't work out. You know, the dog ate my homework went out in the fifth grade. Secondly, the idea of resilience. You get knocked down and you get yourself back up. I don't know about you, but I'm rooting for Tim Tebow to make the NFL, okay? I'm rooting for him because I love to see the comeback story. Third, empathy. Too much anger in America today. Too much division. You know what empathy really is? It's putting yourself in somebody else's shoes and understanding how difficult life can be. I just had a woman the other day tell me that she knows a bunch of young people who committed, they've now grown up, they committed felonies. They don't know where to go. Can't get work. They were young when they made a mistake. I mean, sometimes we can shake our fist, but I think it's rather than shake our fist, we ought to think about how do they get up on their feet, live their God-given purpose. Think about the people that lose their jobs at 51 years of age. Think about young kids who grow up in an environment when they wake up in the morning and they hear gunshots when they go to school. My mother told me that as a young boy, it is a sin, Johnny, not to help people who need help, but it's equally a sin to continue to help people who need to learn how to help themselves. And we can all be part of both ends of that. And then there's the value of teamwork. You want to fix the fence? You want to deal with immigration? You want to balance a budget? You want to deal with entitlements? You want to do any of those things? You got to do it as a team. One party can't do it all. We have to do it as a team, because while we may be Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives, above all, we're Americans. And this is not a game we play in public life. The purpose of it is to give people an opportunity to be lifted. And then there's the issues of family. One of the great appeal that they lay out there to these young people, you can come and be part of something. And I'm not going to apologize for faith. We've run faith too much out of our society. And it's not about the don'ts. In my opinion, it's about the do's. It's about loving your neighbor. Loving people who don't like you. That can be a hard one. Take it from me. It's about so many of the good things. So today I'm walking around this fair. And I see a young man there wearing an Alzheimer's shirt. Standing for something, huh? Yeah, we do need to double the NIH budget and begin to do the vital medical research, and it should be a priority of the government. I just visited the No Labels. Two young guys just came scrambling in, and one of these young guys was like, could I take a picture with you, you know? Because I'm here at this booth because I'm going to stand up for No Labels. Or earlier today, walking through, a young man came up to me wearing a One T-shirt. Do you know what One is, the One campaign? Well, I met Bono back in the late 90s, and he said, I think we should help people in Africa who have big debts, who will never be able to pay them back, and help those countries to get on their feet and save lives. No handouts, just a hand up. I met with Bono. I liked his idea. You know, the song he sings, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, is not a song about his car keys. We worked together in Washington. And then President Bush, after I left, took up the mantle. And because of simple things like vaccinations and mosquito nets and clean water, people on the other side of the globe now have a decent life. And you know what? When a young boy or girl dies in Africa, we all lose a little bit of ourselves. And when we save a young boy or a young girl's life in Africa, the world moves up because we're all connected. So what I want us to think about, in my opinion, what I want us to think about is, what about us? Everybody coming up on the soapbox, you know, you want to run for president, okay? Okay, we need to have a strong leader. It's absolutely vital that we have someone that can set the tone and bring us together. But you don't think, do you, that that's the answer? The answer is in this room. The answer is back in my hometown of McKees Rocks. The answer is from one part of this country to the other, from one ocean to the other, from one border to the other. It's about us. It's about citizenship. It's about believing that we are the glue that holds America together, not somebody else. And government can have its role, and it's important that it has a role. But we can't wait for somebody else to mentor a kid. We can't wait for somebody else to grab one of these young people and say, do not do drugs. It will lead to a life that you will always regret. We can't wait. I just saw a man over here in the booth. 57 years married. His wife died on the 4th of August. I said, what are you here today? He said, well, because I can't stay at home. Got anybody looking after you? Got anybody taking care of you? You see, I think if we can drive home that we all matter, that we all count, that the strength of this country rests upon us and our commitment, young lady, our commitment to making a difference. We're not looking for sainthood. I'm the most flawed person in this room. But I'm doing this election and this campaign for one basic reason. The Lord's been good to me. He's given me some tools. And I have an obligation to use them. And people say, what about these other candidates? What about this guy or that guy? I do want to thank Donald Trump because he got 24 million people to watch the debate. That was good. But you know, why don't we just, as people holding office or running for office, commit ourselves to just doing the right thing as we see it, realizing that we don't hold the monopoly on truth, that together we can build a stronger country. That's what I'm all about. So if I am elected president, you invite me back here, right here. And I'll tell you what I'm doing, because I never run from my record. I'll come right here, and then I'm going to ask you what you're doing. And if we do it together, we'll have a stronger country and more inspired people. And that's what America is all about. Thank you.